they...
It's what you don't recall that can hurt you.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning to you. I'm Bob Moon in for Bill Radke. Seems there's nothing like a recall to focus the minds of car makers. We're talking car recalls, of course. Lately, it seems, there's one in the headlines every few weeks, and a report out this morning offers an explanation as to why. Just within the last week, Mazda told consumers it would fix more than 500,000 cars for steering problems in a voluntary recall. The key word there, voluntary. Marketplace's Amy Scott reports.
Twice as many cars and trucks have been recalled in the last year than have been sold. The New York Times reported the figures this morning. 2010 is on track to be the biggest year for recalls in 6 years. 10 million notices went out to Toyota drivers. At the other end of the spectrum, Lamborghini recalled hundreds of sports cars for a fuel leak. And rather than wait for government regulators to step in, the Times says car makers were more likely to make the first move.
Following the Toyota recalls earlier this year, automakers are more likely to err on the side of caution.
Hans Greimel is Asia editor for Automotive News. Toyota got slapped with a $16 million fine for waiting too long to recall cars with faulty gas pedals. Greimel says car makers learned from the backlash.
I think there's a sentiment among consumers that if the car makers are transparent and open about it, that the customers are more willing to forgive and forget.
And many do seem to have forgiven Toyota. Greimel says the company's sales are up for the year. I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
33 miners trapped a half mile underground for nearly 3 weeks have not been told how much longer they'll likely be stuck. But government reports say the ordeal could last several months, challenging the health and safety of the miners. Gideon Long is the BBC's reporter in Chile, and he visited the mine yesterday. This morning he joins us live to talk about how the mine collapse exposes the danger of the job. Good morning.
Good morning there, Bob.
Gideon, we know mining is a dangerous job, but are things any different in Chile, which is so dependent on mining for its economy?
Well, the short answer is no. Mining is obviously an intrinsically dangerous industry anywhere in the world. I would say, though, that Chile has a fairly good safety record in this area. It's a country which is steeped in mining tradition. It's absolutely essential to the economy. Mining accounts for over a half of Chile's export revenues, and this one country produces a third of all the copper in the world. And that means that they've got a long history of mining. Generally, safety standards around Chile's mines are very good, but it's a mixed picture. At the big mines, the safety standards tend to be good. But there are lots, hundreds of smaller mines dotted around the country where maybe things aren't quite so good.
You visited the mine. Set the scene for us.
That's right. I was up at the mine yesterday. It's bustling with activity. We're allowed to get as far as the entrance. We can see in where they're starting this drilling operation to try and rescue the miners. And just down below, there's a camp which has been set up where the relatives of the miners are basing themselves. They're living in tents. They've been there for over 2 weeks now. And they set up little shrines in the rocks, shrines to the miners down below with personal mementos, messages of goodwill from passers-by, and photographs of the miners as well. So it has a sense of permanence. The local authorities here have set up food, so they have something to eat. It feels like they will be there for some time.
And how are they planning on keeping them safe, healthy, and alive for months down the road here?
Well, now they've established this borehole 700 meters through the rock, which allows them to drop food and water down to the miners, so they can now keep them alive. They've also dropped medical supplies down there, and they've had some communication. They've managed to drop a phone line down there and a camera so they can see what's happening down there and they can speak to them. I think going forward from here, the key thing is going to be how they look after their psychological health, how they keep them sane, how they keep their spirits up. Interestingly, the Chilean government has been talking to NASA about this to get some information about how they train their astronauts. It's a slightly different situation because obviously astronauts know they're going up into space. They can prepare psychologically. These guys went into the mine thinking they'd be back home for dinner. So it's different in that sense. But otherwise, it's quite similar. You know, these guys are going to be in isolation for months. So the Chilean government is talking to NASA to try and learn from NASA's experience with astronauts.
The BBC's Gideon Long in Copiapó, Chile. Thanks.
Thank you.
And let's do the numbers. Tokyo's Nikkei dropped another 1.75% today. European stocks are sinking deeper at this hour. Exchanges in Britain and France are down by more than 0.75%. Frankfurt's DAX has slipped 0.5%.
Mom
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Yellow Book 360, offering a spectrum of marketing tools for small businesses designed to go beyond yellow. More at yellowbook360.com.
All the recent grumbling about corporate excess may soon have a new outlet, direct to the executive suite. The Securities and Exchange Commission is likely to adopt a new rule today to make it easier for some stockholders to replace directors on corporate boards. Supporters say it'll improve the way companies are run, but Marketplace's John Dimsdale reports not everyone sees it that way.
Shareholders elect boards of directors, but the names on the ballot are approved by the company. Adding an independent nominee is practically impossible. Now the SEC seems ready to give large institutional stockholders the right to list their nominees on the same ballot.
This is all about accountability.
Stephen Davis with the Yale School of Management says the financial crisis revealed that many boards rubber-stamped corporate managers who took on too much risk and paid themselves too much.
If you've got a company that's really in trouble, you want to be able to give the owners of the company the right to name other people that might take the company in a different direction.
Businesses, though, think the SEC rule would mean too much government interference. The Chamber of Commerce's David Hirschman says regulators are picking winners and losers.
The question here is whether those minority interested shareholders should have a special leverage over the board, special access that average shareholders don't get.
The SEC's right to impose such a rule had been in question, but Congress gave it the authority in its recent regulatory overhaul. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
Finally this morning, a new kind of vehicle is being assembled in the same factory that makes some models of the Porsche, out of parts produced alongside the makings for Jaguars and Volvos. This specially designed hot rod features hand-stitched seats and a Formula One drivetrain, but one word of caution, it only does 35 miles an hour. It's a new kind of golf cart called the Garia, and it's clearly aimed at a very upscale market. The thing actually comes with a refrigerator built in the dashboard. Just the thing to keep your wine chilled, as long as you can also afford a designated caddy to drive the thing. It sells for more than $60,000. I'm Bob Moon in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.